Dear Diary, for the third night in a row, I've dreamed that I'm living my life backwards, and that I've already been old, and have already been an adult, and now I just have 12 years left. Is it possible that time has reversed itself, but my perception remains aligned in such a way that I truly believe I'm growing older and not younger? Am I really unwriting these things in my diary? I realize it was just a dream, but why do I feel so keenly aware of my future? I've seen myself so vividly experiencing college and work and disappointment and loss. I know Grandma is in the other room, but I saw her grow old and die, and it was so real. I saw her in that old folks' home, listening to music, and when I looked at my own hand holding hers, it was a man's hand, and I felt 30 and not 12. Still can't believe Grandpa's gone. I'm going to go look up Moshe Hositz at the library, because I remember he said he liked his radio show.
That we live in is one big hotel. I've mentioned before about a recurring dream I have about hotels. In fact, I've mentioned it so many times that this show is becoming a recurring dream about a hotel. But if something keeps popping up in your imagination or in your unconscious or something, you ought to take a good hard look at it.
Now you go straight to sleep. Don't stay up all night listening to that radio.
I won't.
We have a big day tomorrow. Grandma's coming over. The whole family's going to be together for once. So get some rest.
I will. Night, Mama.
Good night, sweet boy.
Time, weather, and...
Every hotel lobby. Am I right? Of course I'm right. I'm Moshe Hositz. Thank you for listening. Now it's time to read from the holy book. In the mind, there is no absolute or free will. But the mind is determined to will this or that by a cause, which is also determined by another, and this again by another, and so to infinity. Inadequate and confused ideas follow with the same necessity as adequate or clear and distinct ideas. Whatever ideas follow in the mind from ideas which are adequate in the mind are also adequate. Amen. The same thing goes for music. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be able to dance to it. Just kind of dance to it. Just kind of like it. That's enough, right? Enjoy this song, or don't.
There's a piano. Will you play something for me, boy?
Do you think it's all right?
Well, they wouldn't put a piano in the lobby if it wasn't. Play something. Go over there and play something.
Okay. What should I play?
Anything you like. Maybe something like they play on Moshe Hositz.
I heard the bell the first time. You see, the bell's purpose is a request for assistance and not a device that instantly manifests a clock. Much like a lift button, a single press begins the process of summoning the lift, which will arrive at your floor after it has completed its other tasks in the order they were requested. Very similar to prayer. Cause and effect are not instantaneous, relative to your perception, at least.
Okay, I'm sorry, point taken. But I need a room.
Well, by some miraculous and fortuitous occurrence, you've come to a hotel, a fact that drastically increases your chances of getting a room.
Well, good.
So, welcome to Hotel Hilbert. The finest accommodations anywhere, helpful staff, quality service, and an infinite number of rooms.
An infinite number of rooms? Well, that's good. At least you'll have a room available.
So sorry. Actually, no. We're completely booked. No available rooms.
But you said you have an infinite number of rooms.
Yes, and also currently an infinite number of guests. So regrettably, no available rooms.
I see. Well, I really need a room. But I suppose there's nothing that can be done.
Of course you do. Very limited thinking on your part. There is a solution, by the way. It's rather inconvenient for the rest of the guests, but you seem like an individual with no compunction about inconveniencing others, so I can do that if you'd like.
Yes, thank you. I suppose, yes.
Attention guests. Due to the needs of a single individual, we ask that all guests please move from the room they are currently in to the room one number higher. So if you're in room one, please move to room two. If you're in room two, please move to room three, and so on. We apologize for the inconvenience.
That's interesting.
Room number one is now available to you, so I hope you're happy about that. Hello, yes? All right, very good, quiet. Yes, I understand. Slight change in the accommodations. The ownership of the hotel has changed. We're no longer Hotel Hilbert. We are now Hotel Zeno.
Well, how does that change things?
Changes things quite a bit. The rooms are no longer discreet, but continuous.
What does that mean?
Previously, there were discreet individual rooms, one for each room number, but now there's one continuous room.
So what, there are no walls between the rooms?
Discreet means separate.
I know what it means.
Continuous means not separate.
I get that.
There will be discreet doorways, so from the hallway you will see numbered rooms, but they open into a continuous room.
So what I'm saying is I don't have a room to myself? The other guests will all share the same room?
There is a chance that the guests are also not discreet and you're the only guest. Here. Take the key to room number one since I already had it out and start there.
So the hallway has discreet doors, but the rooms are continuous.
What a very quick learner you are. And I only had to repeat myself several times. Room number one, down the hallway. First door on your left, big easy to read, number one on the door. Key opens the lock. Enjoy your stay.
Thank you. I don't need to register or give my name?
Believe me, we know who you are.
What's he doing here? You didn't give him a room, did you? You were instructed to get rid of him. How are we supposed to have an infinite number of guests if we only have one guest? How are we supposed to shatter universes if you refuse to smash mirrors? How are we going to have disorder if you keep ordering things? I spend all day, every day, breaking things apart, only to find them mysteriously mended and made whole. Do you realize how discouraging that is? A concierge's job is to create chaos and confusion, and you are making that harder and harder every time you refuse to destroy some version of that idiot. Give the rose to Hearty White, or the Welshman will find out, and that'll be the end of something.
I know what I'm doing. Oh no, the Welshman's calling.
What it was, right? Universe is a cauldron of infinite chaos. Then not even the most rose-tinted glasses can make it all look butchy beautiful unless your disorder can be covered. And a Hearty White tinted with the faintest hint of delicate rose, what they reckon is true knee-versed in fin-like shark warbler chatty decay. Decay Australia, Austria, Vienna, Victoria, 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 Snub, Sydney, Snub, you cheese for Tardis, or Duffel Coat, Toozled in Hearty, White Warmer, than your man's lot been spread, laid out in Rose Fending, oft as order with the taste of home, tied again through the Sydney Snab, over in Hearty, White Tinted, through the fane of Nout, Nout and Slet, nay, in the faint of Hounds, Nout and State, in Denmark first, in Newcastle, beautiful, announced in Hearty, White, this Margaret Barnes when arose, when the days to lack on in, and the universe got an infinite death, begun on, as into Butchie. Butchie Cram, Butchie Neswin, Butchie Now Look Or of, Bully Cram, now all, Great Aladdin, Moron, I, beside the leaving a void in the city. The delicate rose of the odd team, and the crowd, and the beautiful verse, Victoria White, to sort of fending off the reckon, have covered the universe, destiny rose tinted glasses, covered over in hearty white gospel character men. Character mention Grotto in the sand at the Esperette on the TARDIS, what are the cheeseman listening to Beauty Sydney? But what they reckon is found that the rose butchered this universe disorder cram. Hearty white, universe, infinite, rose butchy, disorder, chaos. I'm used to go round on a Hawkins. We used to play chaos with all the lollipops going out through the haunted brown. Used to get all crammed up with the slush dog. There was an infinite amount of glistening ice in the brinking drunk of where I put myself through a new guitar string manicure. Hartley White used to run the infinite desktop grab. He used to understand more than anybody else the disorder that Butchie could rancor in throughout the grotesque pretense of being through a carol singing mashed potato groan.
Coming. Butchie? Hello, sir. I'm the bellman. We're going to need you to move to the next room down.
What are you doing here?
Just play along.
Oh, okay, yes, bellman.
Good. Yes, we need you to move to the next door down.
But there's only one room. All the doors open up onto the same room.
Yes, sir. But due to a slight overbooking at the hotel, we'll need you to do this for us. So if you could get all your things and walk out that door and then into the one marked room 2, that would be helpful.
Thank you, bellman.
Butchie, you came for me.
Yeah, against my better judgment, ixnay on the Uchipe.
All right, bellman, I'm ready.
Please follow me, sir. Right this way.
Pass the Duchy, please.
Here.
So, are you going to go to wherever Hardy is and save him or not?
I'm doing it as we speak. I'm already there.
But you're sitting here.
I am?
Yeah.
Well, I can be in more than one place at once. It's called multitasking.
I think that's when you can chew gum and fill out a spreadsheet at the same time.
I'm more than one person.
You don't say. I thought you were just moody, but that explains a lot.
I'm in another dimension right now, saving Hardy, and I'm also here reading the paper. Also, there's another me who hijacked the time machine and went to WFMU, and another one who is at a karate dojo, biting a guy's face off.
That all happened a while back.
Nope, it's happening right now to another me.
Man, I have got to hit the pseudoscience section at the bookstore. There's so much I don't understand.
Look, the universe is like a hotel, with an infinite amount of doors but one big room.
How so?
I don't know, it just is.
When I was visiting my grandma one time, I got ridden by Papagete. I started eating Scotch bonnet peppers and chugging white rum and telling people embarrassing stuff about themselves so they could come to terms with life and death and reconcile their desires with the desires of the universe. Then I smoked a cigar and held my cousin's baby while she helped my grandma cook.
What's that got to do with anything?
I just thought it was an interesting story.
Man, Hardy's easily distracted.
What do you mean?
Follow me. I'm following. When I tell you, run as fast as you can down the hallway. Do not look back and do not get distracted. These other worlds will try to draw you in. Be strong.
What do you mean?
Run! I'm running.
Come on in here, boy. Come in here and listen to Moza Howitz with me. I need some company.
Ignore it.
Darling, I need you to help me fold the laundry. I can't do this by myself.
Be strong. Don't pay any attention. Keep going.
Get me out of this place. I'm in a strange hotel. Take me home.
Ignore it. It's not who you think it is. You, come on in here. It's time to do your radio show. Don't be late. And no dead air.
Okay, Mr. Sugar.
No, Hardy, don't go!
Abel, Baker, Charlie, Dog, Easy, Fox, George, Howe, George, Howe, George, Howe! This is George Howe, ladies and gentlemen. It's 15 minutes past the hour, and there is no greater pleasure for me than to be with you today. It was 60 years ago on this date that Peter Queen and Roger Sugar sailed the Easy Fox to Nan, Obo, and back, proving to the whole world that it could be done, and more than that, they opened the famous Gulf Hotel India, which continues to welcome guests from around the world. And now, let's enjoy the sounds of the great unknown.
Butchie.
You're darn right it's Butchie.
You do not belong here.
No, I belong here as much as you do. We're in this together.
Get out. Get out.
I'm not getting out until I take him with me. You're not giving him the rose, see? I made him, and it's up to me. So I'm taking him, and that's it. And you know darn well you can't stop me.
Man, I had the weirdest dream last night.
Yeah, dreams are weird.
What was your dream, Hardy?
Well, I was sort of lost in time, living my life out of order. Then I was in a hotel, and I went up to this desk
I don't think we need to hear your long weird dream. Nothing more boring than people telling every detail of their dreams. It's only interesting to you. It's like talking about your golf outing.
I guess you're right. Sorry.
I'm always dreaming we're having breakfast.
Because we are. Listen, don't you need to do your show this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I should get right on that.
Welcome
to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we meet in the hotel lobby of life, where we get some outdated brochures from the concierge, and we talk about sharing the hotel shuttle and have it take us anywhere, nowhere in particular, just anywhere. Oh, my friends, there is one room and many doors. It's like the universe that we live in is one big hotel. I've mentioned before about a recurring dream I have about hotels. In fact, I've mentioned it so many times that this show is becoming a recurring dream about a hotel. But if something keeps popping up in your imagination or in your unconscious or something, you ought to take a good hard look at it. Now, I don't want to make my looks too hard because I want my face to be soft and open and inviting so that people will come up to me and speak to me, and they do. A lot of times people will approach me and they'll say, hey, didn't we meet last year at Marienbad? And I'll say, well, maybe, but you see, sometimes I have a beard and sometimes I don't, so I'm hard to recognize. You know, if you just pick one feature to base a memory on, and then that thing disappears, sometimes you have nothing to hang on to, and it just becomes a mystery. Do we know one another or not? I've been mistaken for other people a lot. I think I have countless doppelgangers. What's a doppelganger? It's from the German, doppel, double, ganger, gang. I don't really know. Look-alike is what it means, but I know it has a foreign origin. And I've been in other countries, namely France, where I have been mistaken for other people frequently. I was walking down the street one time in Carcassonne, which is a beautiful
medieval city. It's based on the medieval tourist traps from that time. They get you walled in, and then they say, here, buy these trinkets. And I was walking down the street or the rue or something, and this fella comes running out of a restaurant and approaches me and starts speaking to me as if he knows me. And I look at him in a baffled way, and I say my couple lines in French. I don't speak French. I mean, I do a little bit, but for all intents and purposes, I do not. So he starts looking at me like, you're my friend, and you're pretending you don't know me. He still, even that close, thought I was somebody else. Or maybe we really did know one another, and I had forgotten. Maybe it was me he was wandering around in a dream, didn't realize that I had these other lives that I was living. Maybe it's not just appearances. I have no idea. Another time it happened to me in the French town of Gordes, which isn't even that big a place. I was sitting on a little balcony. You know, it wasn't that high up. It was like second floor or something. And this lady walks by and she starts frantically waving at me and trying to get my attention. And she thought she knew me. And even when I kind of waved back, she never thought she didn't. So this is the kind of lookalike where even when people come close up to me, they still think I'm the person they've mistaken me for. Isn't that interesting? It makes me think there are other me's walking around. Is it just that I look like other folks? Do I have some sort of common face? That's a shame. I mean, I guess that happens with, I've seen that with animals. You go, that's my cat. It's not your cat. It's just another cat that looks like your cat. And I guess that's me. I'm just some cat who looks like some other cat. Wow. Not in a jazz sense, maybe. I mean, like a feline or something. I don't know what it is, but it intrigues me. It tells me that there's things about life that I don't understand. What are those things? Well, I don't understand them, so how would I know? My grandfather used to say to me, he'd say a lot of things, like, please, when you borrow something, put it back where you found it, would be one. Don't you need to bathe? I think was another one. That's really a question. But he would say to me, you know, I think the universe is contingent on the one thing that makes it incomprehensible. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I think it's the missing piece. There's something missing that you will never see and understand. And that missing piece is what causes the whole world to exist in the first place. So if you ever saw it, there would be no world. I go, that's very interesting. He goes, yeah, it's like a puzzle with some of the pieces missing. And I said, oh, didn't Jim Croce say that? Jim Croce said something, like a puzzle with some of the pieces missing. And he said, you don't really understand anything, do you? I said, no, grandfather, I don't. He said, the world must be a very exciting place for you because you seem mystified. I am mystified. Am I gladly mystified? Yes, a little bit. I mean, I don't want to be in the dark. You know, I don't want to be like an ostrich, which his head is buried in the sand or up his own rear end. He doesn't even know. Is my head? Once your head is in your own rear end, you don't know. Is it in the sand? Is it in some kind of sack? Do I just have a pillowcase over my head? Or is that my rectum? I don't know. I mean, if you don't know your pillowcase from your rectum, that's kind of a biggie. And I also wouldn't send you out for Shinola. Because who knows what you'd come back with. Or a fence post? Something? There's other things my grandfather used to say that I got confused, and I don't know what they are, because I guess they're similar. You don't know you're something from a hole in the ground? I don't know. You're right, grandfather, I don't. And I'm not proud of that necessarily. I'm always searching for the truth, but sometimes I realize that the thing I'm looking for may not always be there. It's like going into a library and say, yes, I want this particular book, and they say, go ahead and look for it, and you look around and it's not there. And then you realize that you've misremembered it. That book doesn't exist. It's a book that you write in the future. And you have to go write it for it to be in the library. You know, I'm never going to get around to that. Why would I do that? Why would I write a book? There's already a lot of books, right? I feel like books are like people, you know. I think we're overpopulated. Why would I want to contribute to that? I'm choosing not to have book children. So I'm not going to put any other books out in the... But why don't you write a book, Hardy? There's so many already written. And also, all the words that I would use are already out there. They're not in the same order, but they're out there. So just go read another book. And I know my ideas. I know where I got them. because I was born, and then I read things, and then I thought about it, so I realized that these ideas I just got were pre-existing, right? It's like a recipe. It's like, how do you make that salad? There's nothing magic about it. I got the ingredients at the grocery store. You go get it, put it together. Don't be dependent on my salad. It's like when you buy homemade stuff at the grocery store. Oh, that's homemade jam. I can make homemade jam. What I want is factory things. They have a peculiar taste to them. I don't have those chemicals. I can't buy them. But factory food has special chemicals that put it in. How do you get this? I tried making little cheese crackers. There's all sorts of brands. I'm not going to mention any of them. Bits, Nibs, Nubs, and everything. And I said, I'm going to try to make a cheese cracker at home in my oven. Can't be done. Because what they use, I don't know, some sort of alien technology to make it like that. This tastes interesting. Yes, because chemists are doing it in a test tube or something. You can never quite make it like that at home. So don't you prefer homemade things? I do, really, except for some little snack foods, really. I don't know whether it's the steel of the machine or the grease that gets in there or something from the gears, but there's some flavor that I'm used to. Oh, my goodness. I get used to so many things. Oh, this life, as flawed as it is, it attracts me in so many ways. I know it's painful, and I don't know exactly how it ends, but I know that there's an end. I know that at movies, too. When there's a really good movie, I look at my watch a lot. Not a bad movie, but a good movie. I'll go, oh, no, it's already halfway done. I think about that all the time. Mediocre movies is what I try to go to, because I'm like, oh, that's over, all right. But good ones, I go, oh, darn it, it's going to be over soon. I don't want that. I want it to keep going. But it does not keep going. And then, when it's done, when the movie is done, we all walk out into the lobby. But the lobby is for people who are coming into the movie to get their popcorn and their nonpareils and other what-have-you things. I guess Kleenex, do they sell Kleenex there? They ought to. They ought to sell some little toiletries and things, not just candy. They ought to sell some things that you might need, like a hemorrhoid donut or something practical like that. Like, if I'm going to sit here, I need that. You know, I don't know. That's if I had a movie theater. If I had a hammer, I'd sell it and buy a movie theater. I'd have a movie theater, and I'd play all kinds of movies, old ones. I wouldn't have a theme. I say, well, what kind of theme are you going to have? I wouldn't. Well, that's going to confuse people. It's like freeform radio. What kind of music do they play? Oh, all kinds. Oh, that's too much. It is, in a way, isn't it? All those choices. I don't know. I have so many choices, I don't always know what to choose. Even if you have nothing, you have choices. I say I like to travel, and people say, Hardy, I don't have any money. I can't travel. Oh, you can travel. You just don't, you know, you don't have to go places literally. I do it in my mind sometimes I travel. I'm going to close my eyes and go somewhere. It's a lot more cost efficient. Also, I don't really like planes and things like that. So this is the way I travel. Travel in my mind. I go all sorts of places. And I still get harassed by the locals. It's so funny. And yet it's in my imagination. That's because sometimes one's brain is hostile to oneself. Why is that? I don't know. I think we all contain multitudes. I was going to say Charlie Chaplin, but it's Walt Whitman said that. I don't know why their names sound so similar to me. Do I get them confused? I do, because when Whitman shaves his beard, I can't recognize him. If Walt Whitman came up to you without a beard right now, you'd go, do I know you, sir? Same with Charles Darwin. I see him, I go, sir, do I know you? He goes, it's me, it's Charlie Darwin. I go, oh, I feel like an idiot. When people do that, Nietzsche, same, he shaved his mustache, and I was going, I don't know who you are, and then he went, blah, 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 because he was in the late stages of tertiary syphilis, and I said, oh, now I apologize, I know who you are. It's Nietzsche. But it's funny how we fixate on facial hairs. I said that, or facial hair, it's really hairs, there's more than one. If there's just one thick hair, how about that disconcerting? I don't know. What would have come out of one pore? On the side of the face, a very thick hair just hanging there. Like, what is that? Oh, I don't know, man. It's just a very large hair. It's made of dead cells and everything. I've said this countless times, but everything that you see on a human being is dead. isn't it? I got this from a Buddhist said to me. He said, go away, dead person. I said, what do you mean by that, Buddhist monk? And he said, hair, head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin. Everything that you see is actually dead. It's dead cells and everything. All the living stuff is on the inside. The outside is just dead. And I go, how about that? Also, I am wearing a suit made of a corpse. He goes, well, that's extra. Now you're going too far. I go, well, you know, I want people to get the point, because they get the point anyway. It can be subtle. It doesn't have to be so obvious. Sorry. I guess that's what separates our philosophies. Maybe I'm just a little too obvious. I think people listen to the show, they go, oh, it's so, there's no mystery to it. Do they really say that? No, they say, I'm utterly confused. Why are you making me listen to this? I can't do this. You said you recommended the show. Now I'm listening to it. I'm completely confused. This is not my, I want to say cup of tea, but it's a whole pot of not. All right, well, everybody to each his own. And maybe there's only one of you who likes the show. And maybe all the people who like the show are just one person. How about that? What kind of nonsense do you spout? What kind of nonsense do you propagate? What kind of nonsense, Hardy White, are you speaking? I don't know. It makes sense to me at the time. It does. All of my reactions and all of the things I say are all time, what they call time sensitive. They can't be translated to a different time. I say something, for instance, when I yell, ouch, it usually corresponds with getting, like, stubbing my toe or something like that. Rarely do I yell, ouch, when I'm not stubbing my toe. So all the things I say are sort of relative to something that just happened. So they don't always translate. You can't always take them and use them at another time. I go back in the past, I've made the mistake of listening to past shows sometime, and I think, who is that? I know it's not me. It isn't me. There's only one me, and that me is in this absolute present. And when everything else just seems like creepy, like an imitation of me. Isn't that strange? If I were to hear a future me, if it were possible to listen to yourself in the future, perhaps you would have the same odd feeling that that isn't you. You only exist in this moment, but how is that possible? Zeno tells us. What's Zeno say? Zeno says a lot of things, but we don't have any of his writings, so we don't know. There's a lot of people in history, a lot of philosophers, we only know them through their critics. Isn't that interesting? So we only know, what people thought they were refuting. But we do know that these moments, this time is a really interesting thing, whether it's discrete or continuous or something like that. If it is, how do you pinpoint a moment? How do you say this is the present? Unless the present is a little finite thing there's the present, now it's present, then we're going to the next present, and then we're going to the next present. Because if it's continuous, oh, who knows why things are happening or if they're happening at all. One time I was dreaming, and the universe said, would you like to see the whole universe? And I said, is that possible? And they went, no, shut up. So I didn't take them up on it, but I don't know what would have happened. I like seeing just fragments of it, I guess. You know, when we travel to other countries, say, have you seen France? Oh, I've seen France. Have you? How much of France? Well, I think enough to get the point. No, you never would. Even if you lived there, you wouldn't really. I mean, it's every nook and cranny, every person, every thought and everything. There's really no way to see any, all of anything. Your house. I always have dreams where I've been in a house for a while, and then I discover another room. I go, how did that get there? I don't know. Maybe you didn't notice it, or maybe it wasn't there before. Who knows? Oh, that's why I say life is a hotel. What kind of hotel? You know, here's something else I'd like to point out. A lot of times I'll say things, and the next thing that'll occur to people is something out of popular culture, some song they heard. And, you know, there's this compulsion to either pun or reference something that's hotel, hotel, California. That's what you will say because that Eagle song, hotel, hotel, you can never leave. And somebody will say that. Maybe it's already been in the comments. I don't know. I haven't looked. I'll go look. No, I don't have time. I'm speaking. So isn't that strange? These are intrusive thoughts that aren't yours, that might not and might send you down an entirely different path and start thinking about something that is entirely unrelated and throw you off. And now all of a sudden you'll never discover the mystery because all you can remember is the guy had a beard. By not paying attention to what his eyes look like, you won't recognize Walt Whitman when he shaves his beard. You're seeing too few of the details. That's what I feel. What do you feel? That's what I'm telling you what I feel. I don't know. I'm just glad you're with me. I'm glad we can be together on the radio. I have wanted to be on the radio since I was a little boy, but they didn't want me as a little boy. They said, no, we don't really, we have enough little boys. I go, you're lying. You don't have any. I go on the radio. I don't hear any little boys or little girls. No, I guess not. Well, why I'd listen to a show that just was a little girl doing it. Would you? Yeah, sure, why not? I think they're probably more creative and imaginative. I know I was. A lot of people who are in radio now or in my age came up in the age of the portable cassette player. This was the first time that I remember where people could record their voices like that. You know, before that, you'd have to have a complicated tape machine, and maybe if your mom or dad worked for RCA or something, they came up and goes, we've got this tape machine. You may record your voice on it and play it back over the phonograph, you know, something. And not over the phonograph, I'm making that up. Or maybe we could press a record. I'm just going to go off on a brief tangent. But my mother and my grandfather went to the World's Fair one time, and they got a record pressed. And I would listen to it as a 78. I was listening to it as a kid. And it was basically, it starts out with my mother going, and you can barely hear her voice. And then my grandfather comes on with his loud booming voice and says, nobody can hear you talking. I'll tell all about our trip. We done drove up to New York and we're having a wonderful time and the food's good and I had a sandwich. And my mother's going, there he is. Like that. And it's been on record. I love it. As a child, I listened to it all the time. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's my mother giggling. She's a little kid. I never heard her voice like that because we had some home movies, I guess. Maybe not that old, but you never heard people's voices from the past unless they had some kind of complicated machine. But when I was coming up in the 1900s, they had these portable cassette machines became very popular. My grandparents bought one for my great-grandmother because my great-grandmother started to get the arthritis and she could not write letters and they'd love to correspond. So they said, what we're going to do, Mama, is we're going to give you this cassette recorder machine. Now you just press the button here. It's actually got pressed two buttons together and you talk into it. All right. And then what you do is you take the cassette tape, you send it to us. Then we listen to you. We don't have to talk on the phone for hours and hours and hours. Then we make one, send it back. All right? So this is a great plan. This is my grandfather's plan. So we sent the recording machine, cassette player, to my great-grandmother, and she is baffled, utterly baffled. She had to get Uncle Victor, had to come over and say, I believe you press these two buttons to get... Oh, it was a mess, you know. And then they're talking. You can hear him going, is it on? Is it on? I think it's on. Is it on? I don't know what to say. This. So that didn't last. I think we did that a couple times, sent him back and forth. And finally she said, I'd rather just not talk to you. So my grandfather went here and he gave me the cassette machine. I was like, I'm on the radio now. I can... take my voice, and I'd sit there and I'd go, hello, this is the news. Everybody is going doing something. Now for sports. This in sports. There are a bunch of teams played. And I'd do terrible voices and everything like that. And I thought this was just the greatest thing. I didn't know I was maybe the first generation able to do this, sit in their room like that. Nowadays, I think kids probably don't do that as much, even though the technology now, they could have a whole radio broadcast from their bedroom. But to me, it was novel. And I started listening to more things that I thought were on radio, and you could order cassettes. So my grandfather got me a bunch of cassettes of old radio shows. He goes, listen to those Jack Benny. And I listened to Jack Benny. I was like, oh, dang, that's good. I'm never going to be that good. You know, can I something else? Listen to something else. And it was all good. Some of it's better than others. I'm not going to go through a bunch of old radio shows and tell you which one. Eva Arden, yes. But some of them are transcendent. And they still hold up. I think Jack Benny, I could listen to those shows all day long. They really are good. And so I would listen to that, and, you know, I tried to do it and everything. I said, I want to do that on radio. I want to be on radio. And one time they had I was in school, and they had a career day. And it was elementary school, and they said, all right, we're going to take some of you around. If you got a clear idea what you want to do at age 9, I was like, well, I know I want to be on the radio. And so I would like to point out that I had never made a dime on the radio. My dream did not. I'm physically on the radio, which is making my dream come true, but it's never been my job, which is very strange, right? Because I think I don't know the job aspect of it. They didn't want me to do what I wanted to do. Like, they don't pay people to do that anymore, apparently. Now you just, you know, all right, this is regular. We're giving away tickets. We're giving away pizza. We're going to be out here playing. I go, I don't know why I want to do that necessarily. I thought we could do, I hate to call them skits because that makes my skin crawl, but I wanted to do things like that. I said, no. All right. So they took me on this career day, and we went to, now looking back, I think maybe it was a college station. So I know it was based at the college. I don't know. And I don't remember anything except the guy said something. He said, act like you're crazy. That's what he said. That was his advice. That's all I remember. I'm sure he said a lot of other things, but that was the only career advice. So we went back, and we had to give a presentation to the rest of the class about, now, tell them your experience. So I made a poster, and I wrote on it, act like you're crazy. And I put it up in front of the room, and I said, I want to be on the radio. And I talked to this DJ, and he said, act like you're crazy. And somebody put their hand up, and they said, you spelled your wrong. And I did. And that's it. I don't know that it crushed my dreams. But I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to speak to people. I'm all excited about something, and they're here pointing out my spelling errors. Maybe I just want to keep it to myself. Maybe I just want to do these little recordings in the privacy of my own home. And now I do that, and I send it out. The radio is wonderful. You don't have to hear people going, turn this off. Because I wish my skin was thicker. I really do. I wish it was like an armadillo, except that armadillos get crushed in the middle of the road, and their thick skin doesn't prevent anything. And also, I think they carry the plague or something, don't they? Leprosy? So I don't want that. But I think if I had to hear that, that would be hard for me. Can't you take criticism? I can, you know, but some people's criticism is just, I hate you. And I don't know what to do about that. All right. What should I do? Quit. Go jump in a hole. All right. Go jump in a hole or go jump in a lake is not constructive criticism. And most criticism is not constructive. In fact, if you see like a restaurant review or a concert review that's really biting and funny, it really is just a wish that the person who created that meal or that music would die in a fire, right? And they go, oh, that's hilarious. It usually doesn't say, hey, you know, if you just did this, it'd be a little better. Nobody wants you to be better. They just want you to be spectacular or to fail. And so no one's going to help you because there's a spirit of competition out there a little bit, right? But I don't know about that. I don't mind, helping a little bit because, I guess because I've seen the future and I realize everybody perishes. And also people have problems, you know, nobody's getting away with anything. People that say, oh, that movie star can take criticism because they're a millionaire. Oh, I'm telling you, that's no salve. That's no salve. You have even more problems, I think, sometimes. More problems than being poor? No, just different ones, but there's still problems. And, you know, pain is pain. Suffering. What else? Say a bunch of words and then just repeat them. All right. Coffee cup's a coffee cup. Cigar is a cigar? No, it's not. Sometimes it is not, apparently. I don't know. Hey, I'm no psychologist. I'm no psychiatrist. I'm no psychotherapist. I'm no psycho. I'm no anything. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not any of those things that are on your buttons, all the professions that are on your buttons, a beggar man, a thief, tinker, tailor, soldier, spy. I might be a spy, but not for country or anything like that. I'm spying for another universe, and I'm taking secrets back, and they're asking, say, what are humans currently up to? Well, angelic leader, they're doing fine. I don't give any details because I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to be the reason that anything happens or anything. So I just say, everything's fine. Don't worry about human beings. Don't worry about Earth. I'm probably screwing it up for everybody. I apologize. I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad that we're together. I'm glad that we're ever able to share this moment of you listening to me. And maybe I'm giving you some stories. Maybe you can use them. You write a book. Use this. Transcribe this. Put your name on it. Say, I said it. I won't. I may not sue you. I don't think I will. I don't have. You got to have money to sue people, right? So there's nothing I can do. You can steal from me, and then I'm helpless, really. So that's a good. I don't want you to, but I guess if you want to, as long as you're not taking the bread out of my mouth. Which I don't see why you'd want half chewed up bread anyway. Spit that out. I want the bread in your mouth. All right. And then maybe I don't know what you're going to do with it. I'm going to roll it up into a ball and fry it and sell it at the fair. Oh, fried pre-masticated bread balls are just the best. You can fry anything and then sell it at the fair. It's wonderful how that works. There's a deep fried gives a quality. Is this, what is this, a scotch egg? No, it's chewed up roll. But it's you put it in, I don't know what you roll it in, more breadcrumbs, and then you fry it, and it's just delicious. And they eat that in another country. All right. They fry candy bars, sticks of butter, you name it. Even if it melts, somehow they can get it into the fryer fast enough and get ice cream. That was on menus for a while. Fried ice cream. How's that even possible? Fried ice cube. Wow. I don't know how you're doing it. That's amazing. Wouldn't it just be, I don't know. I'm not a chemist. I got a list. Do I have to list more things I'm not? I mean, you're not a radio guy. I'm not, am I? It's so obvious. I haven't been trained. I should have taken some kind of course when Sally Struthers was offering on gun repair, VCR repair, like that. I should have. Is it radio? Radio broadcasting. Oh, yes. Sign me up. I should have signed up. I would have got a little pamphlet. So you want to be a radio broadcaster? Yes, sir, I do. Well, first of all, no dead air. Really? I'm always afraid now to do dead air because if they put the show on a CD or something, I'll make it another track. So I'd love to do it just as a joke, but I think it's also dangerous. That it's dead. It's not dead. You're just not listening carefully. There's still sound there. When I'm making things, I think, oh, I wonder if people hear the sound. Sometimes I put frequencies in that you need very good speakers to hear. If you're listening to it on your phone, you're going to miss like a the rumble that makes you disconcerted, the disconcerting rumble. I learned that from movies. Sometimes you're watching a movie and you don't realize there's a really low frequency going on that's making you feel uncomfortable and it's menacing. And sometimes you can't, you're not conscious that it's there, but it's going. There's a lot of things that maybe if you're not paying attention to, they're getting in your head and they're adjusting your mood and your feeling, and you're not even aware that you're hearing it. You are hearing and seeing and experiencing things that are beyond your conscious mind, but they're still having an effect on you. Did you know that? This, I think, all psychologists and charlatans agree on, that there's stuff going into your head that you don't know that's there. It's changing your mood, changing the way you think about things. Isn't that interesting? Is there a way to become more conscious of it? I don't know. I always thought, and my philosophy was always that if I send myself into a state of confusion, when I'm confused and when I think I don't know what's going on, I pay more attention. So if I'm in a strange town or something, I remember walking through a town in France at night alone, and boy, were my senses heightened because I was terrified. I didn't know where I was. Nothing was familiar. So I recognized anything. Later, I found out I was doing a very dangerous thing, that it was a high crime area, and that there was, I don't know why I wasn't robbed, but I'd be carrying my saxophone coming back from band practice, and it'd be late at night, and boy, I'd be aware of everything, every sound, every motion, every person. I just felt like I was noticing everything. And that was a really great, and even though I was terrified, I felt fully alive. And I felt for once that I was really paying attention. And I think that's why I had so many mystical experiences while I was there. They weren't mystical. They were just that I wasn't on autopilot. I was fully engaged. My senses, more things were going into my conscious mind than normal. Because I wasn't telling myself that I knew what was going on. I was telling myself, you have no idea what's going on. And when you do that, you see more things. You hear more things. When you meet an individual and you don't make assumptions about them, when you don't base your opinion on their appearance or their behavior necessarily, you might see and experience more things. You might become more aware who that person really is. Life may take on a different character. You might taste more things when you eat foods that are strange. Right? Am I right? You know, kids, you always say, oh, your taste buds must get dulled as you get older. I guess that's probably true, but also do you just get used to things? Things that are similar, just, you know, you can't discriminate between them anymore. I wonder. So I try to see things with fresh eyes all the time. I try to see, smell things with fresh noses. I just have the one nose, but I call them noses because I have nostrils. Nostrils I have two. Eyes I have two. Mouth I have one. Ears I have two. Then I have one. Hands, I have two. What is that old song? It's not. It's a new one that you're writing. Go write it. Oh, you can skip the last few minutes of the show if you need to go write a song. I understand that. Oh, I would never begrudge you that. My friends, you know, we every week, well, not every week. Do you listen every week? Sometimes I do. To be honest with you, sometimes I do not. All right, that's fine too. Sometimes I'll catch up on the show. That's great. I can't believe you listen at all. I honestly can't. I'm so excited. I never take it for granted. Do I? I got to think about that. But I don't think I do. Because I realize how much there are things fighting for your attention. So what am I sharing with you? Is it something worth having? You know, there's a lot of techniques on the radio. People can do lots of things. You know, one of them is to make fun of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with mocking people who you think you're superior to. There's nothing wrong with making fun of people because they're unsophisticated or they're uneducated or making fun of artists that you don't understand or something. There's nothing wrong with that. Is there? I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. I'm not going to moralize here or anything, but that's a very popular thing to do, to mock and to deride. It makes you feel better. So it lifts you up a little bit. You say, you know what? At least I'm not that poor guy over there. That silly guy who's not self-aware. And I feel a little bit superior because I am, you know, at least I'm not a poo-throwing monkey. Well, that's great. I don't know that I can always do that for people because I think, unfortunately, I think sometimes I have the opposite effect. You know, this guy's making me feel like a poo-throwing monkey. Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. But I have always thought that if we all feel a little better and not at the expense of somebody else, and if those people are lifted up too, it's just going to be better for everybody. I am at my core a very selfish person. Sometimes I believe I'm the only person in the universe. You know, maybe I'm arrogant enough to believe that you're me too. Well, if you're me, why would I want to beat up on you? Why would I want you to feel awful? Why would I want you to suffer? Because if you suffer, then I'm suffering. It does make everything worse. Look what happens when people are tormented. Look what happens. There's always repercussions. There's always some kind of consequence. You know, if you poke an animal with a stick enough, what do you think is going to happen? You make that dog angry enough, what do you think is going to happen? You understand that about animal nature, human nature? What do you think is going to happen if we make people feel awful? What do you think if they're desperate? What do you think they're going to do? Oh, there's no place to hide. It's a small world. After all, I knew you were going to say that. I knew we were going to say that. There's got to be, I'm going to combine other language. It's a kleine Mond. See, you've never heard that. It's a kleine Mond. I'm combining a bunch of languages and then pronouncing it poorly. So, it is. Nowhere to hide. And I would like to reach out to you. Give me your hand. This is corny. Just give me your hand for a minute. All right. All right. You're all right. You're all right. Okay? This is not pop psychology. This is just basic human. You're okay. Everything is not okay. But right now, we're together. And whatever's happening is going to happen to both of us. And that makes it a little bit better. All right? I'm with you. It doesn't eliminate suffering. It doesn't eliminate evil. It doesn't change the world. But you know, if we're together, you're sharing it, it makes it a little bit easier. You know, that's why they have enough pallbearers that nobody's going, oh, man, Uncle Victor's heavy. Because everybody's sharing the weight of his dead body in the casket. Gosh, that's a grim, there's got to be something better than that. But, you know, the more of us are lifting the burden, the lighter it is. So I just want to volunteer myself to help lift up, that I want to stand under the thing, put my arms in the air. Maybe we're holding the chair. That's what it is. It's some kind of, we're dancing the hora or something, and we've lifted the bride in a chair, and the bride and groom are holding onto a scarf, and there's a bunch of overweight relatives under the chair. That's me holding it up, okay, lifting you up in the chair, celebrating. So we can all dance. Don't you love that? Oh my gosh. I can't believe our time together is almost over. It went by so quickly. It always goes by so quickly. But you know, there's an end to everything. And with every end, there's a new beginning. And sometimes you think the beginning is the end. For instance, Kevin Nutt's theme song for the next show. Everybody thinks it's the end of my show. What is that great song you play at the end of your show, Hardy? Well, it's actually the beginning of Kevin's show, and I know it's hard to believe, but I think it's called Sinner's Crossroads. So that's the song, I believe. It's the theme song. I know that's my... If I had a frequently asked question page on a homepage or something, it would just be that one. That really is the only question people ask me ever. But they'll say things to me, but that's really the only thing they're curious about. But you're welcome to write me and ask me questions. You can do that. You can find how to write me. Go to the thing and there's a deal and you can write me. Give me your address. I don't know. Got to make it a little bit challenging, you know? If I just gave it out, you'd be... Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you again. I'll see you again next week.